It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Honey, welcome back to Texas. We're picking up our study in the book of John, chapter 6 now.
Right.
It's good to be back across this desk from you for a little while.
Yeah.
For the past, 3 years almost.
Yeah.
We've done a morning Bible study from a specific book in the Bible, and we've actually read the entire book together as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue that, doing what we can as a couple. We're trying to model this in a way that's going to be helpful to our listeners.
Well, honey, and it's a really great reminder for me to just keep myself focused on studying the Word. It spurs me on, and it keeps me more focused. And I like that because it's important that we study the Word.
So let's keep doing it. We invite you to follow along with us as we read from different versions of the Bible. We have a new edition to this, part of our gift to you for support of Compassion Radio during the season we're doing this study. It's called The Dynamic Gospel, and all you have to do is ask for it when you contact us. Gift of any size is welcome. Of course, we depend upon you to support this ministry through your love, your prayers, your financial offerings. All of that goes into making Compassion Radio a viable teaching ministry as well as an activist-involved ministry with projects that we've told you about over all these years. And there are many more coming up in the year of 2021-2022 that we are very excited to tell you about as they emerge later this summer. So as you make it possible for us to do what we do, we will continue doing this for you each and every week.
Let's jump right into chapter 6 of John. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, as it's sometimes called, and a huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. So Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. Therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so these people can eat?" He asked this to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they all sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, "Now go collect the leftovers, so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw this sign he had done, they said, "This really is the prophet who has come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus knew that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself.
Coming by force. What a marvelous and disturbing ending to that story. Jesus is facing all kinds of responses and reactions from people. I want to go back to the very beginning where the scripture itself says Jesus knew what he was about to do, and yet he tested Philip specifically. How do we know this? Probably because Jesus sat down with John later and John asks him, "What was that all about? Why ask him?" And he says, "I was just testing him." By this time, they know each other. Every one of these disciples has a personality, has a bent, has a worldview, has an expectation, is obsessive about certain things or concerned with things that others might not be. Apparently, Philip was real concerned about the money bag. And he might have been the one that was suspicious of Judas all through this whole experience. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus purposely gave it to the thief in order to keep testing their faith. Even if there's a thief in our midst, watch me provide.
Or think of it this way. Perhaps Philip has been concerned his whole life with meeting the needs of his family or being able to meet the needs that are around him. If you've grown up in a family where there was not always enough for everyone to eat, or if you have experienced any kind of food insecurity or homelessness or poverty or just low income.
Like millions are right now in the wake of COVID. We know that there are tens of millions that are still struggling that way.
Exactly. If you've experienced that, you know how difficult it is to consider other people's needs. When you're worried about meeting your own needs, it's hard to see the needs of others. And I don't want to say that Philip was selfish here. I just want to say, consider that he didn't have a generous heart in that sense, because maybe he had experienced hunger or needs himself that were not easily met.
Or maybe he was generous, but not full of faith in that for those that are close to him, he'll always be the first to give up his place at the table or be the first to serve and the last to eat. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was one that always had a grumbling stomach because he was the one that was doing most of the serving. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But we do know from this little hint here that John knew something was up. Mm-hmm. He asked Philip that question for a reason. And John felt it important enough to record that, that Jesus put him to the test and told him, I put him to the test on this one.
Well, it reminds us, too, that if we just let Jesus handle things, then our faith can be expanded.
It can, but it's also going to be tested. I mean, Philip's faith is obviously being tested here. And I also want to note the effect of talking about the 5,000. It's a gross understatement, really, about what the miracle really is, because this says there were 5,000 men. Mm-hmm. There were tens of thousands of other people, wives, children, hangers-on, but of those who could be considered counted in the census, the official citizens, the right people, the leaders of households, those are the ones that got recorded officially. Mm-hmm. So of those 5,000, the report here in the gospel is very much understating the impact of this miracle and the magnitude of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, particularly in our modern age, it's important to note that, but I think it is. Jesus himself is meek in this regard and doesn't puff himself up. Mm-hmm. Nor do the gospel writers. They say what the people of the audience that was listening to the first accounts would expect to hear. Well, how many men were there? They would know that they would also have servants or family or other people along with them.
Well, it speaks to the patriarchy of the time as well.
Exactly.
And I think that's a lesson that we can be aware of and know that when things are considered in Scripture and it says there were this many men or there were this many people, consider that it was most likely men that they were counting and not the women and children that were there as well. So it does actually multiply the numbers, you said. Even in my Bible that I'm reading from, it says Jesus feeds 5,000.
Right.
For the title of this chapter, this is a significant amount of people.
To Jesus, too.
Right.
It begs the question, how important were the others who were not counted to Jesus? The truth is, they mattered enough to Jesus that he would feed all of them, regardless of their station, regardless of their age. But he also multiplies not some wealthy person's gift, he multiplies a kid's lunch. There's a lot going on there in all those imageries and what faith really means, what obedience means, and why others would bring this kid in front of Jesus, in front of Philip, to show what's going to happen next. At the very end of this thing, too, we see a gathering up, a gathering in. When you're the servant and you're serving a meal, and these disciples are learning how to be servants, they're not just becoming leaders and teachers. Their job was to huff the stuff around, to carry the loads and be available to the teacher. At the end of all this, they have to gather up all the leftovers. One important reason why is because they're the servants. They eat the leftovers. You know, that's what they're going to be provided for. So in other words, they were not eating along the way, taking a bite out of a loaf and then passing it out.
Sure.
People who came to hear Jesus, they came first. At the very end, those who had grumbly stomachs, who were working all day long to serve Jesus, are the ones that now get to eat. What did Jesus give them at the end of all this? A bushel full. Their patience was rewarded, but it was also overwhelming. But they also, I think, were getting a moral lesson in this. You want to be provided for dinner? I'll provide you for dinner. They come first, you come second, but your reward will never be less than pursuing your own agenda. I think Jesus is making it very clear that you will be swimming in food by the time this thing's over. So don't you worry. Serve first. So that to me is one of the biggest messages to the family. The miracles were for those who had needs. Sometimes the family has needs. Often it's the world around us that has great needs that we ignore. Jesus did not. But the greatest need of his disciples was to understand how and why and the method with which Jesus provides. And to what degree he provides.
Yeah, they were satisfied, completely satisfied.
And overwhelmed.
And overwhelmed. I want to go back to the little boy too, though. This is a great picture of a generous heart, a generous spirit. Every time I've read this story, I think, surely there was more than one little boy that had a lunch bag. There had to have been. These people are traveling for Passover to Jerusalem. So they have food with them. I would think the pilgrimage that they're making, most of them knew that it was going to be several days' journey. Surely they packed stuff with them. But this little boy was the generous one. This little boy had a lunch bag and said, it's all I got, but here you go. And when Andrew approached him and said, hey, guy, what do you think about sharing your lunch? He gave it. He generously gave what little he had.
And because we don't hear the backstory, what went on right before this immediate conversation, we don't know what was said to the people. We don't know what discussions were going on amongst all the big guys. But this little guy happened to be right there in the middle of it, hearing things. And when he heard a problem, he addressed it.
Yeah, he was eager and ready to help Jesus meet a need, to offer what he had for Jesus to multiply it. And I think that is another great lesson for us to take away from this. Whatever we have to offer, as little as we think it is, if it's only enough for our meager little lunch, Jesus can multiply it and feed those around us to satisfaction. They were all full. Scripture tells us when everyone had had everything they needed, everything they wanted,
then they gathered it in,
the leftovers. So this is a huge story. You and I grew up in the church, so we're familiar with the felt boards and all of the puppet plays the flannel graphs and all of that stuff. We're familiar with
Vacation
this story.
By the schools, yeah.
I mean, we've heard it multiple times in our lives. And it was really one of those things for me when I started reading John 6 again. I was like, okay, here we go again. Five loaves, three, you know. And I had to catch myself and ask Jesus to help me read this with new eyes and with a new perspective. I started to see it from the perspective of this little boy in some ways. And I want to be like that little boy. I want to have my hands open, say, here's my lunch bag, Lord. I don't know what you can do with this little bit that I have, but whatever it is, it's yours to use.
Yeah. Miracles happen when you give. They just do. Especially with their hands at Jesus. And I'm sure this little boy who had the fish and the loaves, the first person Jesus turns around and gives the fish back to is going to be this kid. This kid did not have to wait hours to eat. He watched his food fill his stomach and fill everybody else.
Yeah. Wouldn't you like to know the rest of the story for this little boy? I think about that sometimes when I read this. I think,
where did they go?
What happened with this little boy? What stories did he tell for the rest of his life about this miracle that he was part of?
For 78 years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today.
Let's pivot now to The Dynamic Gospel and read the same account of the story from that version.
Again, from chapter 6 of John, verses 1 through 15. Sometime later, Jesus made his way back to the Roman port city of Tiberias, embarking on a ship headed for the other side of the Galilean Sea. Word had already spread far and wide about the miraculous things Jesus was doing, including physical healings. A large crowd followed him by land all the way around the lake. They found him with his students resting at the top of a hill overlooking the water. This all happened not long before the next Passover celebration. From a long way off, Jesus saw the huge group walking their way toward him. They were easy to spot, a horde marching together through lonely fields. He turned to Philip, saying, "It's lunchtime and this could take a while. Where'd we go to get all of them something to eat?" Jesus had a plan, of course. He was just throwing Philip a curveball. Philip was furiously doing the math in his head. "Master, just to give them all a snack would cost almost a year's salary for a working man. That is, if there was somewhere to even get it." Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was just as practical about working the math a different way. He said, "I found a boy who's carrying a lunch. Looks like 5 biscuits and a couple of sardines. But what's that compared to this crowd?" Jesus answered with instructions to organize the crowd for the missing meal. had the head of each household seat his group. There was plenty of room to do so in the open fields, even though the number of men alone numbered about 5,000. The boy's lunch was placed in Jesus' hands. He thanked the boy, then thanked God for providing what they needed. He started handing out the bread and fish, handful after handful. It was brought to each group, and they ate and ate and ate. No one went hungry. In fact, everyone was stuffed. When the need was satisfied, Jesus stopped. He told his students, "Gather up the leftovers. I don't want any wasted or thrown away." They did as they were told and used 12 large baskets to collect the remaining food. They had to cram the baskets to fit it all in. Once their stomachs were filled, the crowd realized what a miracle it really was. This was no run-of-the-mill teacher. Jesus must really be the prophet, God showing himself to the world, the liberator. By whatever name, he was the boss. The excitement of the idea grew into a frenzy, and Jesus was concerned they might try to forcibly crown him the Redeemer King then and there. That would not be productive, so after a time with the crowd, he slipped away for a while alone to a spot farther up the hill.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. As we were reading this, you came to the point where Jesus thanked the boy and then thanked God, and it was very difficult for you to get through that part, and I asked you what you were thinking. What did you say?
Our Compassion Radio partners, our donors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This whole miracle occurs because someone gave Jesus something, and then Jesus multiplied it. Mm-hmm. And it's a testament across centuries, millennia, to us about how capable our God is. You know, we get letters every month of people who are giving a gift. They don't even know why God has inspired them to give something through Compassion Radio to this project or to keep our radio ministry on the air or to help the legacy that's gone for 78 years continue. And yet they send it because God seems to nudge them in that way.
And we are grateful.
I can't help but be grateful. Mm-hmm. I do love what I do, but it's not us sitting behind the microphone that means the most to me. It's that we have the opportunity to enter into a moment with our listeners every day that reminds them that God's still active. He's still doing stuff, important stuff, the stuff that's transforming the world, saving people's lives and redeeming their souls, transforming their hearts, reuniting families, piercing through wars and, you know, unbelievable trauma that's happening in the world. Jesus enters in right there with his people and does some amazing work, and we've been there to see it.
Yeah.
I don't want him to stop doing that, and I don't want us to stop being available to him to be part of it. So that's what I was thinking during that time.
I want to talk about that little spot again, because in the edition that you were reading, you said he thanked the boy, and then he thanked God. And I really like that, because I don't think, I often think of Jesus being grateful for me or to me for my offering. That's one of those things that I have to like tumble over in my mind a little bit, because there's this part of me that says, well, he's God. He doesn't have to be grateful. He deserves it all. And I give it all to him anyway, which is true. But then we see the human side of God through the person of Jesus Christ, who was grateful to this little boy for giving him a gift. I think that's a beautiful thing to think about. It reminds me that my gifts to him, no matter how small or big or in between, he is grateful for.
And grateful may not be the best word in English for what God feels. I don't know either what the best word is, but I do believe that Jesus himself was thankful. When I was reading those words, the specific words are, with thanks, he offered up the bread in prayer. So Jesus, with thanks, was doing this, not giving thanks to his Father alone. Doesn't say that specifically. It just says, with thanks.
With thanks.
Who is in front of him while he's doing this? When a child comes to you and offers you something, you say, okay, whatever, and pull it in and ignore the child. No. Jesus did not either. I'm sure of that. We wouldn't do that to our kids. We wouldn't just ignore them if they came to give us a gift. We would thank them. So in that moment, with thanks, Jesus received it, offered it to God the Father, and then multiplied it. Because he had the blessing of both parties, the child who gave it and the father who made it. Closing thoughts?
I think I want to focus a little bit, too, on the leftovers. In the first segment, we talked about there were 12 baskets and how Jesus provided those 12 baskets for the servants, for the disciples afterwards. I like the phrase in the Holman Christian Standard that says, when everyone was full and satisfied, he said to the disciples, collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. Now, we are a leftover family.
Yeah, take some explaining, but yes.
we, we eat leftovers. I'll say that, you know, after a meal, if there's anything, I don't care if it's three Brussels sprouts and a little, you know, half a cup of rice, I'm going to put it in a dish and save it for lunch for the next day. I see this as not wasting food and not wasting the resources that we've been provided. So I think that's a great analogy of God in our life, of what Jesus does with our lives. Nothing is wasted. And sometimes we think that we have leftovers, that we are left over, that we're not usable anymore because we've been used up. I see that as we get older in our lives and older in our ministry, that there's nothing left over about it. It is always usable in the hands of Jesus. And we kind of keep harping on that, but that's a big takeaway for me.
And they had a long walk back.
Yeah.
You know, I think Jesus was thinking about those who were worried about, will they have enough food for their kids? Again, we're talking, what, 10, maybe 20,000 people here?
Yeah.
Jesus knows what their needs are going to be, leaving them to go around the lake again. So I think those baskets were there as a take it as you need it as you left the place. Mm-hmm. So the miracle would continue and walk with them. Friends, this is a special time for us, and we hope that you will continue to join us online by getting your own study guide for these chapters and reading the Gospel of John with us through our Dynamic Gospel Edition. They're all available to you at CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you next Monday for the next Compassion Radio's Chasing the Word.
Jesus, what blessed mystery, the vilest of all sinners now forgiven and redeemed. Oh, the depths of darkness, his love would reach down through to cover me with mercy and hide me in his wounds. Oh, begin my song of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Sing it again. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Him. I belong to Jesus. The cross that once was mine came the curse that he would bear and give to me new life. I am his forever, forever he is mine. My freedom bought and paid for by his blood divine. Upon your face, robed in holy splendor, like thunder we will stand, the voice of every saint declaring.
God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or make your gift through our website, compassionradio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.